Well, good morning. Good to see all of you here today. And they did keep their word, Brother Jim, all eight families. I remember, though, 8 years ago when we came here as pastor, that there was only 11. And if eight families had been gone, we'd been way down in the negative. So it is good to be able to have eight families gone and have all of you still here. Be in prayer for those that are even out of the country. We had a couple that that left country altogether. They're down at a wedding. Pray for their safety. They'll get back and be back in the house of God this coming week. And for all the kids who have Monday off, isn't God good? To allow you a break. 3-day weekend. For you that have to work this weekend, you're in our prayers. We are glad that you're able bodied enough to go to work. You could be sick or in a hospital and not able to work, so we're thankful that you have strength enough to be able to get into your workplace. And if you're off, please be careful. Be safe. These holidays seem to bring a good time of relaxation, but sometimes the worst of humanity comes about because of activities they get involved in. So be careful if you're off this weekend and off tomorrow. Enjoy yourself and enjoy your time off. Relax your body, your mind, and always remember, if you're saved, the Holy Ghost of God lives in you, so act accordingly. Have a good testimony about yourself. Good to see Sister Swagman back again. She had surgery on her shoulder a couple of weeks back. She told me she's going to be doing pull-ups and push-ups this weekend. Did you get to that yet, or you're going to postpone that another 2 more weeks? She'll be doing some pull-ups there. So good to have her back in the house of God. Good to have Miss Miriam back from New Jersey. Thank God he brought her back safe. Continue to pray for her sister. Her sister still is in need of prayer. And so we're glad she's back. Glad to have visitors with us this morning. Thank you for coming. You filled in some of the void that is missing from our folks. So glad to have visitors with us this morning. Let's go into the Bible, Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 22. How many know in their mind how many weeks we have been in Galatians 5:22? Just this one verse. 4? 5? How many of you think? 4 or 5? 4, and this is the fifth one? I think that's right. Said, how in the world could we be in one verse for 5 weeks? Well, I remembered a story about a pastor. He had preached 22 weeks out of a particular verse, and the deacons approached him after the 22nd week, and he said, Pastor, is everything okay? You know, are you forgetting where you, well, what do you mean? He said, 22 weeks, sir, you have been preaching out of the same verse. And he said, well, when y'all get it, I'll quit preaching it. This isn't the case. We're covering the fruit of the Spirit. And as you have read with me in Galatians 5:22, we understand that there are multiple fruit of the Spirit. It's kind of not correct English, but I'll give the picture again. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and today's thought is goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And we understand that the fruit of the Spirit is singular, but there are many aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, and beginning with love, we went over joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and today goodness. The fruit of the Spirit and human failure are not equal. The Bible says in Galatians up above there that the flesh and the Spirit, they war against each other. They're contrary one to another. And so sometimes the fruit of the Spirit and human failure, they are complete opposites. Now, listen, when I talk about human failure, you're not a failure by no means. And a lot of times people are told that they are failures, in certain areas. I've been texting and talking with a young man, and he's tried and has not succeeded in certain areas of his life, and he has actually moved away from where he was, and he's feeling like a failure because he's not accomplished certain things, you know, and failure is when you just completely quit and stop on God. You know, the Bible says that a righteous man fell seven times, yet riseth again. You cannot be afraid to try. When you are afraid to try, then you have failed. When you continue to try, you know, like the little caboose that thought he could, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. They just continue to get up and rise again and go forth in life. Dear friend, you are not a failure. You just have learned that this is not the way to succeed. So you come back, you regather, you recalculate, and you go on in life. I remember several years ago, I was on a plane ride, and in the seat of the in front of me, the little pocket, you know, there's always the little bag in case something happens. You can open it up, breathe in and out, so you don't hyperventilate and all that. There's a little magazine that tells about the airline and the different airplanes, and then there's sometimes the emergency little kit. Inside mine was a book. It was a book, and it was called Mid-Course Correction. I read the book. It was a very good book, and I was thinking, you know, about the time I got it, I had turned 40 or 41, and I was thinking, mid-course. That's a funny book to be put in here right now for me to be reading, but it really helped me because as I read it, you know, I asked the steward, said, you know, who's, you know, what to do with it. She said, you can take it if you want. We just forgot to throw it away. The cleaning crew that came through, I took it and kept it. And it was an excellent book. Matter of fact, I still have it in my library. And basically the gist of it is this, that, you know, if you're going through life and you get to a certain point in your life, you know, midlife crisis for some of us, as we talk about, and you realize for the first half of your life, you just haven't been doing things right, it is okay to make mid-course corrections. It really is. It's not okay to know you're going wrong and doing wrong and to continue doing wrong. That is not okay. It is okay to make corrections. And God, throughout my Christian life, has made many corrective movements in my life when I yielded to Him. Now, there is a, in what we're talking about, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Salvation is not reformation. It is regeneration. A lot of times, many of us throughout our life, on the first part of the year, New Year's comes around, and we make some kind of New Year resolution, and we, some of us even have accomplished them. I have yet to accomplish any of those resolutions. Generally, about the third week of January, I have changed my mind. I really do not want to accomplish this, or it's just too difficult. Sometimes people do it. I mean, they put it out there and they're just going to, and they follow through it with just sheer determination. Well, listen, salvation is not like that. The Holy Spirit of God is doing good things in us as He lives within us. Now, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. There comes a point in time in our life that we need to understand and realize that our good works are not going to cut it. The Bible says in Titus 3 and verse 5, not by works of righteousness, which I have done, but according to His mercy. I thank God for His mercy. For when I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. He died when I was not doing good or doing good things. And so salvation is a regeneration, a renewing, and changes in us are not due because we imitate something. Changes come about in our life because we are a new creature in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away, all things become new. The changes that take place in our life that are lasting are because there is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God in our life, and He is working in our lives to help us bear or bring forth or manifest the fruit of the Spirit. Look over in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 10. Galatians 6 and verse number 10. The Bible says there, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. This is where we practice. This is where we put Christianity into practice, so that when we leave out of these doors, we go outside into the world, that we can live Christ, the hope of glory. Now listen, if you come to the house of God, or in time past have been hurt by somebody that calls themselves a Christian, it is a very good possibility that they are saved. I know when people do you wrong, you think, man, those are lost, they're demons, they're not of God. They call themselves a Christian, but there's no way they can be. Listen, Christians are just sinners saved by the grace of God, and sinners, sometimes as we are, we tend to lean and walk in the flesh. And we use it as excuses many times. I posted something on Facebook here this other day. It was just profound. It was little feet walking, and it said this. Instead of using the excuse that I'm in the flesh to live according to the flesh, why don't we use the excuse that I am saved and the Holy Spirit of God lives in me, therefore I will act like a Christian. This is where we practice. Do you understand something, dear friend? If you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, the Bible says you have everlasting life, you have eternal life. We're going to spend eternity one day with all the fellow believers in Christ. We've ever get along right here and learn to practice Christ, the hope of glory, so that we can make a difference in this world. Because listen, lost people are not always kind, such as Christians are not always kind. That's why we should manifest the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. God understands that when He saved us, we still live in a body of flesh. We still carry around a lot of baggage. And there is times, that, dear friend, that we just honestly do not good. You know what the Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse number 19? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. That's what God's Word says. Now the fruit of the Spirit is to be good. Now as we look at this, we have to recognize that there's just some days that we just don't do good. There are just some days, and listen, my disposition in life, we need to have a good disposition. I can honestly say that there's times in my life that the mood that I carry with me daily makes me unapproachable. Bad mood. We need to recognize that. We need to have a good, encouraging, positive mood. We need to carry ourselves in a certain manner, in a certain way. Because, why? I'm a child of the King. And 5 minutes of a bad conversation with somebody does not have to ruin my whole entire day. So I need to recognize that I need a good disposition. Listen, moods are changeable. Oh, Lord, you know they are. They're like the weather. And listen, men, you can quit talking about how women are moody. We are just as moody. We are. And moods change. A good disposition, a good mood, a positive mood needs to be part of our character. Why? Because the Bible says when I got saved, I took on a divine nature. God Himself lives within me, and God, and everything that God does, is and always will be good. Amen. Look back in Genesis 31, chapter 1, verse 31 on your own. I don't have time to flip back there right now. Genesis 1, 31 says that when God created and finished creation, all that He did and all that He created was good. That's what the Bible says. God is good. And if God lives within me, I need to have a good... Well, preacher, I just woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Good. Climb back in bed, roll out the other side, and get out the good side of the bed. You recognize, I mean, you're smart, you're intelligent. I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Good. Get back in, pull the covers back up, roll over to the other side, and climb back out and say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Listen. This is the fruit of the Spirit. We've got to recognize what is part of the fruit of the Spirit. And if God lives in me, the Holy Spirit of God lives in me, and the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit is coming out, it means that I'm going to be, in general, a good person, not because I am good, because none is good, no, not one, but because Christ, the hope of glory, God Himself, lives in me, the good God of the universe, is inside of me, and He is bigger than I am. I have to decrease, and He must increase. And to be honest with you, a good disposition makes us easy to live with. Every one of us know, in a relationship, it's not always easy living with one another. But we bear forth the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit, a good disposition. We're suffering loss. We understand that in that relationship that it is not 50-50. You've got to grasp this. You have to understand this. A relationship is not 50-50. It is 100%, 100%. Because if I have 50 and she has 50, guess who is going to win out on the other 50? My flesh. Is going to rule and reign in what I desire. Her flesh is going to rule and reign in what she desires. And then you have conflict. Because you're not giving over one to another. It makes you easy to live with. It makes it easy for approachableness. People need to be able to approach us. And a good disposition allows them that opportunity. How many of you know what kind of disposition, somebody over here just help me, what kind of disposition does Eeyore have? Eeyore, oh, Winnie the Pooh. Grumpy? Depressed? Sad? Just to be honest with you, dear friend, if I walk around all sad like Eeyore and you've been blessed by God, you don't want to approach me to tell me how blessed you are. Because I'm going to rain on your party. I'm going to cloud up. What's that one movie them kids watch? Cloudy and Meatballs and something? Rain? Meatballs and two? Rain and two? I don't know. Something crazy. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs? If I'm like Eeyore, I'm going to make you sad. You could have just got a pay raise of $10 an hour. And you walk upon me and tell me, and I'm talking about, I'm acting like Eeyore, and I'm all down and depressed, and my disposition is just sad all the time. By the time you walk away, you're going to think, man, I got a $10 raise, but good Lord, the government's going to get more now. Man. Taxes going on even more. And you just walk away. You just walk away sad and depressed. Some of our children cannot approach us with life because we are not approachable. Our disposition is not good in their eyes. Now, if you hadn't figured it out, dear friend, it's pretty hard to live as a teenager nowadays. It's very difficult. And they need to be able to approach you and I as parents, as adults, they need to be able to feel comfortable with pastors. They can come in and say, "Hey, pastor, look, I messed up this weekend." And not know that I'm going to just choke them down and put the tap out on them. Tap out, cry uncle. You can't be doing that stuff. It's not what Jesus did whenever the woman come caught in adultery and fornication. Yeah, he just knelt down in the sand, rolled some in the sand that those men left, and then he's left there with her. And he said, "Listen, go and sin no more." He was approachable. And he didn't condone sin. Amen. So although I try to be approachable, don't come to me with your sin and think I'm going to be okay with it. I'm going to show you Bible where you're not okay. And you have to be right with God. That is what we do. But we have to be approachable. We have to be like Galatians 6:1. "Ye which are spiritual, lift up such a one that's fallen, considering yourself." Sometimes you know as well as I'm standing here, you're just not approachable. You have not a good dispensation. This is being part of the fruit of the Spirit. A good dispensation shows love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. A good dispensation brings about a good attitude, doesn't it? Positive attitude. That's what we need. Listen, we need to have an encouraging attitude. Look with me over in Hebrews 10:24 real quick. Hold your place there in Galatians because we're coming right back. Hebrews 10:24. We need to have an encouraging attitude. A good dispensation, a good attitude. A bad attitude is very difficult to overcome. Any of you that work with kids, you teachers, you know as well as I do, you got one kid in there that's got bad attitude. It spreads quick, doesn't it? You coaches that coach baseball, softball, basketball, football, all that, and you got one kid on the team that's got a bad attitude. You that have coworkers, you have somebody constantly running down your business, your work, your the people you work for. Guess what happens? It spread, doesn't it? Matter of fact, some of you are working at a place that you didn't know there was anything wrong until somebody with a bad attitude told you there was something wrong. And you bought into it. And you don't know why you got a bad attitude now. Because it spreads. Hebrews 10:24, the Bible says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to what? Good works." A good attitude. Listen, you provoke people to good works. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. "And let us consider others, that our attitude, being Spirit-filled, Christ-honoring people, that we are friendly." You know it's easy when you have a good attitude to have friends? Some of you don't have friends. You wonder why. Because you don't have a good attitude. You find the wrong in everybody. As soon as they walk up, you find the wrong. You spot the wrong. Your attitude is negative, and you always got negative on your mind. And you find what's wrong with them, and then you feel like it's a strength of yours by pointing out people's wrongs. You understand we all have wrongs. Every last one of us has something wrong with us. Not a one sitting here has something. We can never get to the point where we feel like we have arrived and we're unapproachable and that our attitude is that I'm better than someone else. Amen. The only time we should be looking down upon somebody is that we're offering a hand up. Amen. To get them up to the spot where they are reflecting Christ like they should be. Jesus was very quick to befriend the needy, was he not? Very quick to find the needy, those in trouble, those who are down, and give them a positive, uplifting hand and help them. Listen, he was a friend of sinners, Always reaching out to the ones that was hurting and trying to help them. He said, I'd leave the 99 and I'd go after the one. And whenever I find them, I'll bring them back to the fold. And the Bible says there'll be great rejoicing in heaven because of the one that was won back. A good attitude. Listen, do you need a better attitude at home? At church? At work? Ask the Lord to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. So we have good dispensation, we have a good attitude, and then as we work through life, we have a desire to do good to others. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 2. Remember what I told you, good works don't earn salvation, dear friend. But the reason we do good works, it's just simply say, thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving this old wretched sinner. Thank you, Lord, for caring enough about me that you died on the cross of Calvary for me. And I'm in debt to you. I'm in debt to the world. And, Lord, I just want to do something good to somebody just to say thank you. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. Very plain and very clear. But it doesn't stop there. The thought, the content keeps rolling in verse 10. For we are his workmanship. Work, labor. We cut it off right there. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now we're not saved by works. We're saved through faith, and we cannot earn ourselves to heaven. We cannot work to get to heaven, dear friend. But if you would, go over to James chapter number 2. Flip over to James chapter 2. Folks sitting around talking about how much they know God and their lips, and they speaking of God, but their heart is far from them. It's very difficult to understand because James said, I'll show you my faith by what? Let's look. James chapter number 2. James is right after the book of Hebrews. James chapter 2. And let's see. Let's start at verse 17. James chapter 2, verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. Look what it says in verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Listen, dear friend, whenever the fruit of the Spirit is manifesting itself through you, you have a desire to do good works toward others. Because whenever I do good works towards someone else, and I help someone else, and I'm friendly to someone else, and I do something to help them, encourage them, lift their life up, though I am not doing it directly to God, God says if you do offer a cup of cold water in my name. Listen, when we do it to each other, does not the Bible teach us that a local church is the body of Christ? So if this is the body of Christ and I see one of the body needing help and I help them and I encourage them, I lift them up and I do good toward them, I'm actually doing it to the body of Christ, which is in turn to Christ himself. This is why we do good works, because we are created unto good works. And when I do good works, I'm saying, Lord, I am thankful. We need to seize opportunities, dear friend, to do good works towards them. How do you do that? Somebody's in the hospital, go by and visit them. Somebody's sick at home and they can't come to church, you know, send them a get well card if you can't get by. Send them a text or Facebook. Good Lord night, you can chat and Snapchat and Facebook chat and email, and you do all kind of stuff on that phone. I mean, listen, you walk around with a phone. Listen, you got a computer at your hand that you can do about anything. Matter of fact, you can order flowers and have them delivered over straight from your phone. You can do 1-800-flower.com, whatever you want to do. Listen, can find opportunities to do what we want to if we can get off that doggone phone. I have never in my life seen a bunch of folks sit around in the same room texting each other. Riding the same car, texting from the front seat to the back seat. Snapchatting in front. Who are you talking to?
Oh, Kinley.
She's right behind you. What do you mean you're talking to? Turn around, put the phone down and talk. You know why we have no prayer life? We can't Snapchat with God. Caring for widows. Bible's very plain about caring for widows indeed, right? Go by and visit. Mow a yard. Take them grocery shopping. Not with your money. I mean, take them, go over, pick them up and say, hey, listen, are you going to Publix? Let me ride you over and help you out with the cart. You know, load them up. Bring them over. You're looking for opportunities. Listen, comforting those that are grieved. This past month, we've had two funerals hit the church. Just at the wake and the funeral and the burial site, that's not enough. There's going to be times you just have to just walk, hey, how you doing right now? You need something. Can I pray for you right now? Look for opportunities. The Bible says in Galatians that we are to bear one another's burdens. It's Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, Brother James, is that it? Maybe it's not. My memory's getting worse and worse. Chapter 6, Galatians 6, I think, and verse 2. Is that what it says? Bear ye one another's burdens. You know, that does not mean that you are to hear their problems and call sister. There's no Judy's here, are there? We have no Judy's. Call Sister Judy and Brother Johnny. Oh, we got a Johnny. Brother, got a James.
Roger.
Brother Roger. We got no Rogers yet. Looking for the day we do. It's not your job to call Brother Roger and Sister Judy and say, listen, guess what I heard we need to pray about? That's not bearing one another's burdens. That is called gossip. And the Bible is very plain about gossip. It's just as sinful for gossip as fornication. And some of you would go hog wild if you knew if somebody's fornicating around in here. But gossip, it's just what we do. It's just a thing we do. No, that's not what we should do. God didn't save us to be the devil's DJ. And that's what gossip is. Seize opportunities to do good to others. To be honest with you, church, it's time for a checkup on this here spiritual gift. I mean, it's fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, as we've been going through it, I mean, this is the fifth week, and we got three more to go. And I've been thinking, Lord, I'm lacking this, and I'm lacking that. I'm going to be honest with you, I lack in gentleness. A lot of men do, you know. Kid come in there, I remember one time my two boys, I'm almost done, my two boys, Drew and Clay, were out playing in the yard. And they were digging in the yard like boys should be doing. Stay off them PlayStations. We need more tackle boxes and less PlayStations. Less Xboxes. They were playing in the dirt. And they were digging them a trench with little cards. And they had a claw hammer. And they were digging it. And they worked themselves around. And boy, one of them reared back and dug that claw into the other one's head by accident. I'm talking a real claw hammer. I'm not talking about those plastic things. I'm talking about a real claw hammer. Blood started running down there. And my mother-in-law was still living. She goes, what's all that crying about? She said, get back out there in the yard and play. Man, that's how a man talks. Normally a mama, she would, you know, let me kiss on everybody, put a little salve on it, go buy them some ice cream, some cookies, you know, time you get a little scratch, so you're $60 in debt with some kids. I mean, just to get them to quit bawling. I lack in being gentle. I'll be honest with you. I'm not always gentle with my wife. I'm not gentle with my children. And I'm sorry for that. I apologize for that. You know, and I said, God, I need this manifest to me. I need to be gentle. I lack in that. I lack sometimes in joy. Sometimes I just let the world and the things going around me rob me of God's joy. And I lack. And Lord, I need this. And as I've studied this, looked this, I need a good dispensation. Sometimes I'm just not approachable, Brother Johnson. Sometimes I've heard enough. I don't want to hear no more. And that's wrong on my behalf. And maybe you got to check that out. You got to look at yourself. But you know, sometimes my attitude's not always right. Sometimes I have a bad attitude. I mean, I do. And I need to check that out. A lot of times my service for others is not in order. Brother Victor came to me 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, and said, hey, we need to do something with these buskets. I said, hey, I'll pray about it, Brother Victor. I'll pray about it. I really wasn't into it. You get to doing so much, you have other things you on your mind. And then Brother Johnson came to me. Hey, Brother Victor, why don't you go talk to Brother Johnson? Now I realized Brother Victor hadn't talked to Brother Johnson. The Holy Spirit talked to Brother Johnson. Brother Johnson came with the same request. He said, Lord, you don't have to tell me twice. Let's go do it. Sometimes I lack in doing good for others. I really do. I mean, people come around, there's crooks. I'm going to tell you, every 3 months I get the call from the same guy up here north of the North Airport. He's got another story about why he ain't got money coming. He's done had like 6 inheritances in the last 5 years. I mean, with all these inheritances you got coming, but he needs some. You know, you get tired of helping and being used, and you know, and it's same story. And, you know, you get tired. You say, Lord, we got a little process we go through. People call here; they need help with their need some groceries or something. You know, and I have a little questionnaire where you fill it out, and ask these questions. And I'm sorry, they're walking around with 2 iPhones. I don't see why we got to help. And sometimes I get callous, Brother Bill. And I don't listen to the Spirit of God. I listen to my old callous flesh. And say, Lord, I've got to have a checkup. I've got to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. We're not. God commands us to do good, but He doesn't command us to be walking mats. And it takes God's Spirit, God's divineness. So, as we look at these, we check this out. What changes need to be made in our life? Here's the only thought I got left. Let the Holy Spirit of God work in your life. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. The pianist is coming. We'll sing a song of invitation. Perhaps this morning you have no idea about the fruit of the Spirit because you've never trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Our church cannot save you. I cannot save you. Jesus Christ alone died on the cross of Calvary. But we would like to take opportunity to take the Word of God and show you from the Bible how you know for a fact and certainty that you have eternal life. If you're lost this morning, would you let us take the Bible and show you? Maybe you just haven't been good. Maybe it's the other ones, the long-suffering. Maybe it's gentleness. Maybe it's love. Maybe you're lacking joy. Whatever it is, these altars are, they're here for your use.